Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Todd Feinberg. Now 2 till 6 on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Todd Feinberg here, WTIC. Every once in a while, the COVID stuff reaches, you know, new information and data and memes. And every once in a while, it reaches some critical mass where we check in with Jim Watkins from CandidlySpeaking.net. Just so we can sort through these issues. One of the things I've been noticing, Jim, is that even the people who are issuing the commands, like wear masks or whatever, none of this has the conviction that it used to have. We're supposedly under the grip of a virus strain that they told us was 1,000 times more powerful than the one during the first wave and the beginning of COVID, and yet they're nonchalant about a lot of these day-to-day control commands that they cared a lot about at the beginning. Have you noticed that?
I have. I've actually detected that I'm not hearing the Delta variant being presented as scary as, say, like 2 or 3 weeks ago. I know what you mean.
And that fits in, I think, to a larger scheme of, this is actually different from what they told us it was going to be. And I'm wondering about these pockets. You know, there are places where Florida has been in the media for being the lead state in this variant. And there's a couple other places, but it seems largely to not be volatile. And I don't get that.
Well, the fact is new cases are down 20% in the United States from a month ago. But the vaccination rates have not gone up horribly high or terrifically high. It's still standing at about 62%. There's about 212 million vaccination shots in the United States to date. So it could be a little bit of herd immunity. You know, it's been in circulation. You know, the news media know the truth. And they're the ones that are talking to their operatives and over at the State Department or HHS. So it could just be that they're a little bit less worried about it, but they don't want us to be less worried about it because of the tie-in to Big Pharma and making sure everybody gets their shots. You know, we know that monoclonal antibody immunity is very effective. We've seen rates go down in Florida by 60-70%, new cases and deaths in the last 30 days. But the government doesn't want you. In fact, I was just reading a report today that if you go to your doctor, they will not recommend monoclonal antibody immunization therapy. What they will tell you is you need to get a vaccine. So it's almost as if the drive is really just to get the vaccine, but we already know the cases are kind of going down. The wave is ending.
And what do you attribute that to, the marriage to the vaccine, given?
Well, again, yeah.
Go ahead.
I think it's both. I think, you know, there are less people. Therapy's improved. The vulnerable population have already been pretty much afflicted. If they haven't gotten it by now, it's been, what, almost 2 years, just shy of, 19 months. So it's in the general population. There is probably some herd immunity. But even my doctor, when I went in a few days ago just for a checkup, she didn't seem overly concerned. I did a blood test. She didn't even ask if I had COVID. So my doctor is not that concerned about it. the people in California going to these parties, people on the Emmys, they seem to be okay with it. So maybe we ought to just take their lead and get back to living as normal as we can.
Yeah, which is what we're doing. But, you know, in Connecticut, the governor is now going for an extension of his state of emergency through
for what?
February. He wants it till, I think it's mid-February, and that would be virtually 2 years of emergency powers.
It's amazing. I'm so, who can call him on that? For what reason? What are his specific reasons?
He doesn't have specific. He's been using the same ones. Well, I might need to issue mask orders. There are government funds, federal funds that are dependent on being in a state of emergency. None of which is valid or true. And just the way he's saying it is indicating that there is no emergency, because he's talking about these as hypothetical challenges that he may someday face, which is exactly how our government is designed to deal with it. We've got a legislature that can come in, and then his excuse is, well, it doesn't really matter because the legislature can always block any of these they want to. But hey, buddy, that's not our system or government. The system or government is supposed to be the people's representatives right there, frontline defense of us against people like you who want perpetual kingship.
It is true, and it is abhorrent. And if you watch the news outside of the mainstream news, you'll see how people are reacting in places like France and the UK and certainly Australia. There's been some wild videos. People there are just fed up. They are so tired of their government telling them that they cannot leave their house unless it's approved. You can't leave the country. You know, it's interesting. They just announced, or the EU announced, that if you have the vaccine, you can now travel into the United States. You know, in a large macro view, we are literally all prisoners of our own countries right now because of this virus.
Because of travel restrictions.
Because of you cannot get on an airplane and just fly anywhere you want to unless you've got a vax, prove that you don't have COVID. And what if you don't have a vax and you've had COVID and you have immunity and you don't need to get a shot? You are not allowed to leave this country, and people can't come into the country unless they've gone through the testing. I get the precautions, but we're still talking about a virus that only affects 2% of the general population.
We're talking to Jim Watkins from CandidlySpeaking.net. Jim, you said you've got some new stuff posted on the website that you think people would be interested in.
Yeah, this is big news, and it's going to kind of break for your audience. You know the guy, you remember Peter Daszak, he's the CEO of Eco Alliance. He was the one that got the funding that Fauci wanted to continue his gain-of-function research prior to the outbreak, looking into viruses like the one we have today. Well, now we find out, and this comes from the Telegraph, that the same wacko Eco Alliance director, Peter Daszak, why he's not in jail, I'm not quite sure, but the headline reads, Wuhan scientists plan to release chimeric COVID spike proteins into bat populations using skin penetrating nanoparticles. Now, why would they do that? Well, according to the Telegraph, new documents show that 18 months before the first COVID-19 cases appeared, researchers had submitted plans to release skin-penetrating nanoparticles containing novel chimeric spike proteins. They even sought $14 million from DARPA, which is the Defense Advanced Research Project. The bid was submitted by Peter Daszak, hoping to use genetically engineering to, quote, cobble human-specific cleavage sites onto bat COVID, which would make it easier for the virus to enter human cells. I mean, this is, oh, by the way, he was working with the same woman, the bat lady, Dr. Zhi Zhengli, and also from the Wuhan Institute of Virology, also working with researchers from the University of North Carolina, and the, for some strange reason, the U.S. Geological Survey National Wildlife Health Center.
Well, what so would got, be the, do you see any responsible scientific reason that this might be something that they would want to be studying? It sounds so bizarre to think
bizarre
about just dropping it into bats in a cave, because that means free bats that could be flying anywhere.
That's exactly right. Or end up at a wet market. Right.
So why would you want to do such a thing?
Well, apparently DARPA said, we're not giving you any money. And they said to him, Peter, that the project has could put local communities at risk and that maybe DASIC hadn't fully considered the dangers involving enhancing a virus. I mean, could you imagine if the Chinese had developed a virus that could just be aerosolized? And there are reports, if you go back on the CandidlySpeaking.net, early in the outbreak, when more of the news was coming through unfiltered, where you actually had evidence that the Chinese were working on an aerosolized type of drug that would make people, particularly Hong Kong protesters, more pacifists, mm-hmm. sort of numb them so that they wouldn't be so excited. And so we know that the Chinese are all about control, but this really adds to that whole level. Imagine if we'd had an aerosolized version of the COVID-19 virus. That would have, you know, we may not be having this conversation right now.
The whole thing you're talking about is there is this control thing that comes along, whether deliberately or inadvertently, with the virus. You were saying how there is no international travel now without vaccination or without approval from governments. And that is something nobody's accustomed to in democratic societies, but it's affecting places like Australia. It's affecting travel to and from the United States. These are things that we had not imagined that might be our government trying to control us separate from a virus, like the Chinese. You know, what I'm trying to say is we look at the Chinese as this symbol of oppression and the leading edge of a government using technology to make sure that in the future, and the future is going to be a very dangerous future, as weapons become smaller, drones become smaller, individual terrorists working alone maybe will have the ability to reap all kinds of havoc using mini technology that can't be seen maybe. So then you switch over to the idea of a virus, and what would be a legitimate government concern moving into this more dangerous future? How do we control our populations like the Chinese do if we're a democratic society?
That's the million-dollar question, and it's tragic because what China has done by allowing this virus to escape purposefully or not, Joe Biden will never find out that answer, by the way, but that's what they've done. They've initiated a different kind of war that's fought in your veins and not on the battlefields, and we know that they're capable of doing this because we know that they're capable of selling live organs from Uyghur prisoners. So if you've got a country that is run by leadership that is willing to do that, then what they've done is they've exported not only the virus, but the approach to dealing with the virus, which is extremely patterned after the CCP. They're not soldering our doors shut yet, but that could be the next step. I thought it was pretty interesting how quickly the LA Unified School District, the largest school district in the country, immediately went into mandating vaccines, 25 seconds after Biden had his press conference. It's almost like people in leadership positions are craving the authority that they're getting from this virus. And that's what's disturbing.
Yes. And a part of it might be a compelling government interest in figuring out how they're going to manage the business that they're in. That is how to maintain power for as long as possible. And also, we could have this kind of crisis coming down our pike where they're worried about other diseases. I mean, based on what you're talking about, there could be other potential disease threats coming down the pike. We're talking to Jim Watkins from CandidlySpeaking.net. Jim, let's take a quick break and then continue the conversation on WTIC.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Listen to the podcast on WTIC.com/podcast.
We're talking to Jim Watkins. He's a regular here, but not predictably. We never know when we're going to call on him, whenever, or he calls on us. And sometimes he just says, hey, Todd, we've got stuff to talk about. Jim Watkins is here from CandidlySpeaking.net. One of the curious things, you know, we started off talking about how the government is so inconsistent and they send out these mixed signals, danger, danger, danger. And then you see them out for dinner without a mask or out at a political fundraiser without a mask. And you say, wait a sec, they were telling us to wear masks. And Jim, they tell us we have to wear masks, but they also told us that regular masks don't work against the Delta variant because of its ability to aerosol. And that means that everybody has to wear N95s. And then they stop talking about N95s, but still they put in mask mandates. Inconsistencies. Explain some of the latest ones to us, Jim.
Well, I think the biggest one is the one that's got everybody upset, is how on earth can Biden get up there and tell us that his patience is wearing thin, which, by the way, I think would be a great T-shirt that we should all wear that says, hey, Joe, our patience is wearing thin.
Jim, why aren't you selling that on the website? That's brilliant.
But he's telling us to get vaccinated. Meanwhile, he's got the rope. He's lifted the rope for all the migrants to come in, waving them in by the truckloads. Come on in. Come on in.
When you see on TV those overhead shots of that overpass in Texas, with those thousands of new illegal immigrants.
None of them wearing masks, by the way.
Well, they don't have enough money to get a mask.
Yeah.
Right. And there is no vaccination where they've come from in their home country, Haiti.
As, by the way, Mexico is the second highest rate of death from COVID right now, below Russia, I believe, about 800 people a day in Mexico. And they've been in the top five for, I don't know, 6 months.
But I think I heard there's a 1% vaccination rate in Haiti. So you can understand why Mexico might be freaking out. But if we are so worried about COVID and we're so worried about Texas and its relationship to COVID, why are we letting people dance into the country like nothing is going on?
It's a good question. And it's a question that Jen Psaki can't even answer, which is really amazing. But it is hypocritical, and it's also criminal, if you ask me. This is the number one driver of cases in the state of Texas, which is the number one state for cases, is being driven by illegal immigration, the fanning in of the migrants. And then they're placing them in places like, well, Yakima, Washington, Tucson. They're just flying them in, and it doesn't make any sense. And they're turning it into a race issue or a sort of a bigotry issue. It's not about that. It's about protection. If we're supposed to be quarantining and social distancing and doing all the things that the CDC says that we need to do, but then you see other people who are not doing this and they're not even being asked to do this, you start to realize that the government is lying to you. That's what my perception is.
No, I think we see that at every turn. And so in one way, I'm pleased about this because I think more people are becoming conscious of the fact that this is what government does. Government takes realities and puts them into propaganda schemes that work best for them. And that's true. I grew up thinking, and I'm sure you did too, Jim, that propaganda machinery belonged to other countries. But yeah. Now what I think is plain is that propaganda is part of doing government. That's how governments function. They take reality and they synthesize it down to a message. But the motivation, we assume, a lot of people still assume in this country, that the motivation for the message has to do with our best interest. And I am of the opinion.
Absolutely not.
It's 100% the best interest of, in our country, elected officials who want to get reelected.
You know, I did a head count on how many the top five pharmaceutical companies and how much they spend annually in network advertising. Every single one of them, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, over $100 million from each. So you're thinking maybe that's half a billion dollars in network advertising that is lining the pockets of ABC, CNN. It is in their best interest for us to be scared. And that's why the first 10 minutes of NBC News or World News Tonight is literally a commercial for the pharmaceutical.
Yeah. And you're talking about just one line item on the expense sheet of one of these companies. How about all the money that's flowing through that whole line of, so government is fighting all the time to take more control over the healthcare industry.
Yeah, and they're working.
And the healthcare industry is either hospitals and surgeries, or it is drugs.
And let me just dovetail on that, because the pharmaceutical industry is already preparing medications to treat the side effects from the vaccine. So just think about that for a moment. That's why they're on the air talking about pretty soon you're going to start hearing they have drugs for long COVID. Do you suffer from long COVID? You know what long COVID is, right?
You're foreshadowing the ad on the news. I love it.
And that's what they're going to do. And this is what it's all about. And this is why they can afford to pay Rachel Maddow on the fledgling MSNBC $30 million a year.
That's 700,000 viewers. It's kind of mind-boggling. Jim Watkins, CandidlySpeaking.net. We're going to get a news update. Stay with us. More coming up on WTIC.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Feinberg, now 2 till 6 on WTIC News Talk 1080.
It's WTIC. Todd here. Noah Ring, you've heard him before. He's here again. Noah is the 19-year-old from Georgia, radio talk host already, and he's a college student. And so he gives us all kinds of different insights. What does a young Southern man think about the world today? And how does somebody who's grown up around conservatives view America compared to us, surrounded by people who are on the side of how do we tear down all those structures that the founders built? Noah, nice to have you here once again.
Yeah, glad to be here. Glad to be here every week.
So I was having a chat on the phone, not an on-air chat, but a private chat with Michael Leibowitz, a prisoner who appears regularly here on the program. And he said to me he really likes that new kid from Georgia. And I said, why? Why do you like Noah? He said he's smart and he says what he thinks and he's got that little accent. He's great. So, and he said, I've got a question I want you to ask Noah for me. And I said, okay, whatever you want. What is it? He said, ask him why he's not a libertarian. I don't get why he's not a libertarian. So, first of all, answer that for us. Why? What is your political philosophy? Let's start there. Do you have one, a principle by which you view politics?
Yeah. So my basic view on politics is quite simple. As little government as humanly possible. So then you go, okay, no, a libertarian, right? But no, because I think that the problem with most libertarians is not all. They think the government should have as little role as humanly possible. They're for 100% free trade. They're for 100% stuff like this. When I'm not really the same. What basically I would say separates me from mainstream libertarians is that I think the government should step in at times, right? I've taken flack for this before, but I'm perfectly for, you know, saying that the government's job should be to promote U.S. businesses over European or Chinese or any of these other businesses. I think that the job of America is to make more prosperous citizens. And we don't make as many prosperous citizens if the government is buying stuff from China or we're not promoting Chinese goods to America, which is a completely different topic also because China hates us. But my a good friend of mine once said something that kind of stuck with me is kind of do whatever floats your boat so long as you don't sink mine. And I think that we also have to look in, hey, Trump was pretty libertarian in terms of Republicanism, in terms of modern Republican presidents. I mean, he routinely met with people from Young Americans for Liberty. He was not pro-war, which is a libertarian sense as well. But it really becomes, there's two ways, there's two paths forward for people who think like me, limited government. We can either go and try to prop up the Libertarian Party, or we can try to change the Republican Party from within. That second one is a lot easier than the first one. Trust me.
All right. Well, let me clarify terms here, and I'm speaking on behalf of Leibowitz, so I have to guess at things, but I'll ask you for myself as well. I'm not really asking for the Libertarian Party because I think the Libertarian Party, there's nothing attractive about it. The people who run as candidates are too nerdy and absolutist and don't articulate in a way that invites people in. But really, it's a philosophical question, because this is what I have become and I'm becoming. The state of Connecticut is forcing me to become very libertarian. And that means committed to the idea that power remains in the hands of the people. And government is totally committed to the idea that they should have all the power. Our government is totally committed to this. Connecticut is so in debt as a state that it's impossible to imagine ever paying it off. It's like this permanent note that everybody who signs up to live here is going to have to pay taxes that are twice as high as some other states in the country. That makes no sense to me. And that's made possible by not having principled government, by not requiring of our government and our people running for office that they say, I believe in the founding principles of this country, and America is based on the idea that government should do nothing, the federal government especially, should do nothing that is not explicitly demanded of it in the Constitution. And its default position should always be, is this promoting smaller government and the freedom of citizens, or is it likely to result in the opposite? And everything now is designed to how can we chip away at these restrictions that the founding documents put on us. So what are your thoughts on that, Noah?
No, I think you're 100% right. And if that's the true question is, should the government be limited? Then yeah, I'm a libertarian. But no, I think you're right about the party itself. I mean, the last convention it went, you know, viral because the guy said, yeah, you shouldn't have to have a whatever to wear a seatbelt in your car. What's next? Do I have to ask the government to cook toast in my toaster or something like that? And it's just like, or about driver's licenses. Sorry. Mm-hmm. That's not going to win mainstream appeal, but I'm very liberty minded because I know right now in the state of Georgia, yeah, we got Republicans in control in the House, the Senate, and the governorship and the courts. However, as you probably looked at in 2022, that may not be the case based on, you know, limited Republican voter turnout or whatever it may be, right? But with that being said, I'm very liberty minded. Okay, I mean, I like freedom. I like the ability to, you know, do whatever I want. In a couple of months, I'll be in Texas hog hunting from a helicopter. So, I mean, that's just very as freedom as it gets right there, in my personal opinion. I think you're 100% right.
Yeah. So the only way you keep that is if you're always saying to government, no, you can't do that. Oh, but we can make your life so much better if we create paid family medical leave. That way, if you ever need 12 weeks off from work for whatever the reason, even if your cat gets sick, okay, you can take it off and we'll pay 80% of your salary or 100%. And people fall for this stuff. And I think they fall for it because they forget about those basic principles, which is, guess what? If we could eliminate half of what government takes from us or three quarters of it, that would probably be more than enough for the government we need. And we would have so much money to drive economic activity, to create jobs. We would just be so much richer and more successful as a country. And now we've got government that's taking so much money out of the economy that it's getting a little scary about how we survive. And now they're using COVID as the excuse to spend as many trillions of dollars that don't exist as they feel like. And that's, you know, we're so far away from these ideals that you're talking about, Noah, that it should cause some sense of panic over the future of the country.
You're 100% right. The people in power, they subscribe to this thing called modern monetary policy, which is basically, yeah, we can print as much money as we can because guess what? In the future, we can print more and it'll be okay, right? Which is not how sensible people talk about it. I mean, my friend Steve Moore and I were talking about this a couple of days ago. And, you know, he's the economic advisor to President Trump. It's a terrible policy. It's basically saying, all right, we can spend as much money on our credit card as we want because next month we'll just get a new credit card and then we'll pay that off with that credit card. And then we'll do the same thing. We'll just, you know, push debt along. I mean, I got a friend right now who got a student loan to pay for his life. And it's like, you could get a job, which is interesting because you're just pushing. When do you want to pay for it? Do you want to pay for it now or do you want to pay for it, you know, 100 years from now? And the politicians of today want to pay for it now because I think the average age of somebody in the U.S. Senate is like 68 or something like that. There's only like three senators under the age of 50, maybe two.
Your point being what, though?
My point is that the politicians of today aren't worried about the future of the country because they won't live in the future of the country. So they're just going to spend as much. It'd be like this, right, Todd? It'd be like, if you hand me your credit card, I don't care about what I spend because guess who has to pay it back? Not me. You do.
Well, I think that's how they permanently feel about government. It's monopoly money to them because it's unreal. They just and by the way, they're not even worried. So your point is basically valid, but I just want to put a finer note on it that these guys will sell out. Like I see it in Connecticut all the time. They'll do something to sell out the state in 4 years because they know they're not going to be running for re-election. So if there's right. some big time-bombed debt that allowed them to win re-election by giving things to voters that haven't been paid for and it blows up on the next guy, they're perfectly happy to do that.
Yeah, no, I mean, that happened in Ohio here recently or a couple of years ago. A guy named Josh Mandel, who's currently running for the Senate in Ohio, he spent like, I think it was like $15 million on some ad campaign to get something signed up for something because he was the state secretary or some stupid position, treasurer. He's a state treasurer. And he spent like $15 million with, I think, Urban Meyer at the time, the Ohio State coach, and then like only like 10,000 people signed up for it. Now, if that was me doing advertising for my company and I spent $15 million and only got 5,000 people signing up, I'm probably going out of business, but because it's the money of the Ohio taxpayers, and in some of these states, California and New York, it's the money of the federal government because they've run their state so amok. That's why I would like to see a balanced budget amendment be added to the Constitution in the country or for the federal Constitution and in the U.S. or in state constitutions across the country, because my state has a balanced budget amendment and we did way better under COVID than most people. So we were able to buy bonds, not sell bonds, which as you and I both know, gives you a return on investment. And I'm sure you would love it right now if the state of Connecticut was in the position where they had to buy bonds and not sell them.
No, because they probably are because they've taken so much money from the federal government. We've so distorted our system and so corrupted the idea of government being there to protect the people's rights as opposed to buy votes by giving us things that I don't know that there's any way to remedy. We're talking to Noah Ring. He's a radio talk host who's 19 years old, lives in Georgia. That's where he grew up, and he's got that little twang in his voice, and it's delightful to talk with him. We'll take a quick break and continue with Noah coming up on WTIC.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Listen to the podcast on WTIC.com/podcast.
Todd here with Noah Ring. Noah, thanks for sticking around for more. It's good to talk with you once again. So let's, just wrap up the libertarian thing. So if I ask you the question again, are you a libertarian? Will you answer it differently now?
Yeah, I mean, the definitions matter in the way you define it. Yeah, definitely a libertarian, 100%.
I like that. I like that because liberty is what it's all about to me, because that's freedom, that thing of you get to go jump out of whatever plane you want to jump out of, wearing whatever safety device you choose. That's up to you. Right. And that's, you know, that's what America is supposed to be. And that's why we get such great results. All right. Let's switch to, we were talking earlier about Ron DeSantis, you and I, not on the air. And I thought it was interesting, and there are aspects of it that we should share. Because you were talking about why the governor of Florida is a popular guy with particular voters. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, well, I mean, getting back to it, I mean, my show is called Let Freedom Ring. I'm a big fan of freedom. But second, my thoughts on it is a couple of fold. I mean, he does amazing with Hispanic and Cuban, and basically he's popular with Democrats in Florida right now based on COVID. I think COVID, Republicans need to run on COVID in 2022 and say we don't like lockdowns and masks. Nobody does. And the people who do aren't voting for Republicans anyway. But I think it's twofold, right? I think one, it helps because he is Hispanic. So obviously, you know, he is the Hispanic dream. I mean, he came from, I believe, a single mother and ended up at Harvard and Yale. He played baseball at Yale. I always get confused. He went to Yale undergrad or Yale law and vice versa with Harvard. And then he joined the Navy, ended up getting appointed to be a U.S. attorney and federal prosecutor at like 30 something years old, which is really young. And now he served in Congress and he became a houseman, or he became one of the most famous governors. So a lot of people look at it and they go, we can do that too. He's a symbol of hope, almost in the way that Obama was. He's a symbol of hope for the Hispanic and Latino community. But I think also it gets to a bigger point that we were talking about as well, is a lot of people in the Republican Party seem to think if we want to win, we got to put up a black Republican, or we got to put up a female Republican, or the great black female Republican, right? When I don't think that's true. I think that voters really just care about how well you're doing. Let's look at Georgia, right? Kelly Loeffler was supposed to do so much better than David Perdue because she was a woman. If you look at the exit polls from the January 5th runoff, where they're pretty much the only two on the ballot, there was like a third statewide public service commission, but they're the only two on the ballot, basically. David Perdue outperformed Kelly Loeffler in every single one of those categories. The suburban women, he outperformed, obviously, in the Trump base. So I think what really is...
Yeah, but let me jump in for a sec. I think people get a little carried away with those.
I do, too.
I think she was the rich candidate, and that's why those were the mechanics that made the power structure want her, because she's a terrible communicator. This is the woman who ran
a terrible person
for the Senate in Georgia. I mean, she was just a poor communicator. You could feel her fear. I watched one of the debates and she was so bad. It was scary.
You're 100% right. Yeah. And David was a great communicator, and that's why David got roughly 40,000, 50,000 more votes than she did, both in November and in January. But I think it goes back to the point of Republicans and just voters in general don't want the token candidate. They want the best candidate. They want the candidate who's going to vote for it. And as you and I both know, Ron DeSantis does not care what CNN and the various liberal media says about him. He doesn't care. I mean, they try to say that the only reason he was doing those antibody treatments is because one of the people who donated to him owns part of the company. Well, as it turns out now, what he did was so well that the federal government is trying to buy all of those treatments in the country because what he did worked so well. And when all this stuff starts to come out and Ron DeSantis has been defending himself so well, it makes him popular. And I think another thing is a former federal prosecutor, he knows how to argue. And that's a big thing as well, is knowing how to argue and knowing how to state your point in a way that really will... You come across as people will think you're very smart, which I think nobody denies that he's smart. So I think it's a couple of things. I think it's the fact that obviously he has risen from the ashes to become what many think will be the 2024 nominee for the Republican Party. And I really think he has a strong chance to do that. But also he's no nonsense. He does what he says he's going to do. I remember in 2018, I thought he'd end up becoming a rhino. I was dead wrong. And I'm glad that I was. It made me think about moving to Florida.
That's part of what concerns me about him. He is an impressive guy. He did go to Yale undergrad and Harvard Law School. And that's a pretty good demonstration of somebody who's intellectually alive and vibrant. But I feel like he's contriving himself into being a Trump-like character, which I understand the motivation, and I understand that there's something inherently true about the idea that if you're going to be a national candidate in a country of 330 million people, yeah, you have to play on TV and you have to use performance as a way to demonstrate who you are. But I feel too much performance coming off of him and not enough sincerity. And what are your thoughts on that, Noah?
I'm not sure. I mean, I've only met him one time in a very limited capacity. I will say that if there ever was a time that it would be popular to distance yourself away from Donald Trump and the Republican Party, I mean, it would be now. My friend Jeff Duncan, the lieutenant governor of the state of Georgia, he just wrote a book pretty much trashing Trump's rhetoric. I mean, I'm reading the book right now because Jeff asked me to, and he's a friend of mine. But I think that this is, the Democratic Party is looking for these type of people, right, who are going to be Republicans but walk away from Trump. I mean, they did it with McCain. So I think that if there was any insincerity at all, he would be the first to say it. I mean, I haven't heard, not that I even care about if you're the most 100% pro-Trump candidate, because if you didn't know, there's like 10,000 of them running for Congress right now everywhere.
There is this desire of a lot of people to coattail themselves into office, right, by becoming somebody who is acceptable to the most hardcore Trump voter. And that's caused a lot of people to pretend to be somebody they aren't in order to win elections.
Yeah, no, I think you're 100% right. I think the vast majority of the American public also agree with you that the people who work 50 hours a week and have two kids, they don't care about talking points. They want to know how they're going to bring more money home and how they're not going to have to worry about losing their job with the stagflation coming out of the Biden administration.
Noah Ring, radio talk host from Georgia. 19 years old, smart guy, as you can tell, and fun to talk to. Thanks again for taking the time to be with us.
Thank you, Todd.
Don't forget, we do the Rant Line every day, except Fridays, during the 5 o'clock hour. Fridays, it's during the 2 o'clock hour. The Rants. In case you've never heard them, it's possible you've never heard them. People like this guy call all the time.
I try to call in every day with a poem Todd Feinberg will play.
And her, she calls too.
Hi, Todd.
Lots of fun we have with the Rants. 860-751-4698.
Yo, 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 Todd. This is the candy wrapper.
We'll get a news update and talk more.
It's 1:13, and I don't know if I can keep this one clean. Empty head, Ned. All you do is tax the poor and the middle class. Ned, you can take those tolls and shove them up your ass.
Yeah, sometimes it gets a little rowdy, but it's all in good fun, and it's political conversation. That's what we do here on WTIC News Talk 1080.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.